So John's Gospel, chapter 1, and we'll just read verses 10, 11, and 12. John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse number 10. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that will suffice for the reading of the opening, although I do trust that I'll read quite a bit in the scriptures this evening. It's really impossible for me to speak fully of Christ, but we know that the scriptures do. So we will take advantage of having the copy of the scriptures with us, and we'll read quite extensively from it this evening. So what's on my mind really this evening is to look at very, very briefly the five statements that are mentioned about the Lord Jesus in verses 10 and 11. Of course, if we were to go to John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 12 would be a verse that would stand out for all of us. Possibly there's some of us here that have been led to Christ through that verse. And for many of us, even if we haven't been led to Christ through that verse, it's a favorite for many of us. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But there's five remarkable statements that come in verses 10 and 11. First of all, he was in the world. Secondly, and the world was made by him. Thirdly, the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Each one of those statements are remarkable in their own way. He was in the world. Remarkable, isn't it? The creator of heaven and earth in the world. Isn't that what the second statement says? That he made it. Not only did he make the world, but he came to his creation. And how sad it was that the creation, man that he had made, in the third statement, the world knew him not. Not only did he come to the world, but in the fourth statement, he comes unto his own things or his own people. And very, very tragically, the last statement maybe is the most tragic of all. The fifth statement, the end of verse number 11, and his own received him not. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As far as the Jewish nation was concerned, they knew him not. For some of them, it was, I think, strictly out of ignorance. And yet, for others, unfortunately, it was deliberate unbelief. We thank God that each one of us tonight that have come to know him as Savior, have come to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We didn't make the mistake that the Jewish nation made. And we're not ones that are marked by unbelief as to who he is. We're so thankful that we ever came to understand that verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What I'd like to look at this evening is, what were the reasons why the Jewish nation did not recognize Christ? Why did they not recognize the Messiah? Or maybe more specifically, what signs were they given? What were reasons that they should have known him, that they should have recognized him, they should have understood who he was? So we'll look at three different points. The first one, we're going to look at the character that he displayed. Secondly, we're going to look at the different claims that he made in relation to himself. And thirdly, as we finish, we'll look at the prophetic scriptures concerning him. So we'll look at how God reveals Christ to the nation of Israel. And then we'll look at how God reveals Christ to us through the scriptures. So as I mentioned, first of all, we'll look at Christ and his character. How did Christ manifest himself when he was here? And how did that character that was displayed by him, how should that have convinced those that he came to? How should that have convinced them as to his true messiahship? Well, if we were to look at his character, well, obviously, one of the ways in which we would display our character is in our words. And John chapter 7 and verse number 46 records for us that the officers answered those that had sent them and said, "Never did a man speak like this man." And if we were to look at his words, we would think of the integrity of his speech. But not only can we display our character in our words, but also in our actions. And we think of the actions of the Lord Jesus. And we think of the tenderness of his arms in Luke chapter 1, as he brought unto him also infants, that he may touch them, the tenderness of his arms. But if we were to think of his character displayed in the miracles, the power of his works, the many, many miracles that he performed, they were true credentials of his messiahship, weren't they? You remember that John the Baptist asked that question. He says, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Luke chapter 7, that is, "Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go thy way, tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the gospel," and "to the poor the gospel is preached." So his works and his miracles. But he also displayed his character in the way that he taught. His teaching was marked by wisdom. His teaching was marked by knowledge and also by authority. And there's a reference to that in each of the Gospels that we'll look at just very briefly now. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, it says, "When they had come into his own country," when he had come into his own country, "he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, From whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Mark's Gospel would record for us, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." We come to Luke's Gospel, and it says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Then we come to John's Gospel, and it says in chapter 7, he says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" So in this we see the character of the Lord Jesus Christ displayed in his words, displayed in his actions, displayed in the miracles in which he performed, the compassion that he had on those that were sick and those were lame and so on. We think of his teaching, marked by wisdom and knowledge and authority. All of these showed who he really was. They displayed the character of one that had come from God. And yet, even though he displayed his character in such a perfect way, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So there was his character that was shown. But secondly, there were his own claims, things that he said himself. If you still have your Bibles open, let's just go over to John's Gospel in chapter 6. I could outline a number of these statements for you, but as I mentioned earlier, I don't have the ability to speak of Christ in his fullness, obviously, like the scriptures have. So I think we're just going to take the time and read these scriptures, and you can follow along if you like, or since they are quite a few, you can just listen along. John's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll read number 30. And as we go through these, we're going to notice as we read the different claims that the Lord Jesus made himself as to who he was. And these are claims that the Jews heard. They should have taken him at his word and recognized him for who he was. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse number 30. "They say therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" Verse 32. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me, on me shall never thirst." Verse 37, All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. Verse number 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is it not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he saith, I came down from heaven? The Jews answered and said unto them, Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which is in heaven. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. You've picked out, haven't you, as we've read, the different claims that he has made is that he is the Son of God. He is that one that has come down from heaven. He is the one that has that integral link with the Father, the one that is the bread of life. Let's just go over the page to chapter 7 and down to verse number 14. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. If we were to look at a key statement, a key declaration in chapter 7, I would believe it would be these words, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Here we see that dependent man, the dependent servant of Jehovah that had come not to do his own will, but had come to do the will of the Father that had sent him. We go over to chapter 8. We're just going to pick out a number of these verses from chapter 6, where we started, up until chapter 12. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Verse number 18. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. If we were to look at the maybe two different key declarations of the Savior here, I believe it's in verse number 23, the first one, I am from above, ye're of this world. I am not of this world. And then again in verse number 28, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. Again, very, very clear declaration that he is the Christ. We come to John chapter 9, just for two verses. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, clearly states, I am the light of the world. Let's go to John chapter 10. Most of these will be very well familiar, verses that are very much familiar to each one of us. Verse number 7. And Jesus again, so then said Jesus unto them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door by me. Verse 9. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Sorry, that was verse 15. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among them. Division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So they got what he was saying. They didn't take it in as in that they accepted it, but they understood that he was claiming to be the Son of God. And that is why in verse 31, they take up stones to stone him. He says in chapter 10, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. We come to chapter 11. Verse number 25, of course, it's the story of Lazarus being raised. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I thought the verses were interesting as we go down into verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. I appreciated this little part here. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. That was his purpose. He wanted them to believe that he was the Christ, that he was the one that was sent of the Father. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. When he had spoke with a loud voice, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, here in chapter 12, he is the one that declares himself as the resurrection and the life. Just a couple of verses in chapter 12, and then we'll move on to our third point. John chapter 12 and verse 23, and Jesus answering them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying which death he should die. So I've just taken seven chapters, chapter 6 through 12, and we can see repeatedly that he makes these claims as to who he is. They're spoken to the Jews. He speaks in clear language as far as who has sent him. He is giving them ample opportunity, ample proof, and yet, unfortunately, there are many that do not receive him. So his own claims, that was number two. But as I close, I just like to look at some of the prophetic scriptures in relation to the Savior that were written. And again, other instances where the Jews should have recognized who this one was. Prophetic scriptures in relation to his birth. There's Isaiah chapter 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The place of his birth. That is prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. We could think of his public ministry, his works, and the purpose of them. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, to the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and so on. There's his death that is predicted and the manner of it. We could go to Psalm 22, verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he should deliver him. Let him deliver him now, seeing that he delighted in him. There's other verses in Psalm 22 we know well, and I won't go over. We could go to Isaiah 53, more prophecies concerning his death. We could look at Isaiah 53 in verse number 9 in relation to his burial. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Prophecy in relation to his resurrection, Psalm 16 and verse number 10. For thou wilt not leave thy Holy One, for thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So for all of these reasons, first of all, his character, second of all, his own claims, and then the prophetic scriptures, the Jews should have recognized their Messiah when he came. Nationally, they were blinded, and yet individually, there were those that saw him both physically and spiritually. Listen to some of the statements that these individuals make. I thought of the man Simeon in Luke chapter 2. He took the Lord as a child up in his arms, and he says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We think of the woman of Samaria. Understand, not a Jew, but a woman of Samaria. Is not this the Christ? When the others came from the city, what did they say? They said that we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. There was a one like blind Bartimaeus, wasn't there, that cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We think of Simon Peter, Matthew chapter 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We think of the centurion. Those verses were brought to us on Sunday by your brother Steve. Matthew 27, as the centurion would watch the events that transpired at the cross, he could say, truly, this was the Son of God. We think of the disciples after the resurrection, John chapter 20, verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, that was to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. What a sight to behold, to be able to see the Lord in all of his resurrection glory. Aren't we so glad this evening that there are those of us that have seen him by the eye of faith? We have not seen him physically. We will see him one day very soon, we will see him face to face. But as 1 Peter 1, verse number 8 says, whom having not seen, ye love. In him, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So I trust this evening, as a result of the reading of the Word of God and a couple brief and simple comments on it, that we may have seen Christ. We have been able to see Christ in the Scriptures. The one that the Jews did not see, the one that they missed, is the one that we have seen and the one that we have come to love. I just thought of a hymn that I'll just read as I close, that I think kind of sums up what I was thinking of. And it's one that we often sing on a Lord's Day morning. Amidst us our beloved stands and bids us view his pierced hands, points to the wounded feet and side, blessed emblems of the crucified. Thought of particularly verses 3 and 4. If now with eyes defiled and dim, we see the signs but see not him, oh, may his love the scales displace and bid us see him face to face. Thou glorious bridegroom of our hearts, thy present smile thy grace imparts. Oh, lift the veil, if veil there be, let every saint thy glory see. Thanks for listening.